about vision for the church, we're not just talking about vision for this organization, but we're talking about vision for you. And I want to start out this morning, start this series out, really with the basis for the vision of any church that is out there. And it's in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. It says this, it says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore go, say go. Therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So today, as we're kicking off this series, we want to begin to share some vision for the church, but specifically, we want to talk about some vision that is for you, for your life personally, and not just for this organization, this thing that we come to on Sundays, but when we're talking about church, we're talking about you. Look at your neighbor and say, you are the church. Come on now, y'all got to do a lot better than that. I don't know if y'all stayed up too late, didn't drink your coffee, or if it's a little bit of rain this morning got you sluggish, but we are the church. And really what I'm praying is this. I'm praying that during this series that our hearts are going to burn with a fire for God's house, amen? That God's going to start something in our hearts and burn really for all that he wants to do in us. And I believe that God planted our church. He planted Emerge Church in this city for this day, for this time, amen? And I believe that God has assembled us together for more than just a meeting, that we're not just here to do Sundays, but I believe that he's brought us together to lift up the name of Jesus in this city. I believe that he's brought us together to reach this city. Can somebody say amen? I believe that he's brought us together because he loves you, because he loves your family, because he loves your friends, he loves your neighbors, he loves your coworkers. And so he brought this church and planted this church right here. And he brought us together because he knew that we could do much more together than what we could do by ourselves. And today I want to kick off this Forward series with a message entitled Bigger Than Myself. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day, for our time that we have together. And Lord, I pray that during this entire series that you, Holy Spirit, will just awaken something in our hearts. I'm praying, Lord, that this won't just be an informative series. I pray that it's not just inspirational, but I pray, God, it's awakening. I pray, Lord, that it awakens us to the plans that you have for us. I pray, Lord, that it opens our eyes to see the areas in our own lives where we need to grow. So, Lord, I'm asking you today for your help in sharing this message. And I pray, Lord, for every ear to be open, every heart to be open, and that they will receive this word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So this week, man, I had a week. It was one of those weeks. Sunday night, started feeling bad, started sneezing, started with headache, and then Monday, I crashed. It was just like I wasn't feeling good. And I was really amped up about this series I was starting. And so I thought it's just one of those one-day things. And then Tuesday happened. Tuesday, I wound up going to the doctor. It's like, I need to get better. And then Wednesday, I started feeling a little bit better. And then Wednesday night, go down again. Thursday, here we go again. Let's go for it. And so it's just been up and down. And here we are today. And excuse me, I got a little coughing thing going. So just been feeling a lot of resistance from the enemy with this message, which is why I know this is something that we need to share today. In fact, I got Pastor Paul right here on standby, and so if the coughing spell comes, he's going to come pick up where I left off, but I'm going to fight through it, all right? I'm going to fight through it, and so Paul's like, please, please do. So let's set this thing up. All right, so we open up this series, this whole message today, by reading the Great Commission, and it's Jesus' last words on earth to his disciples. And he started out with his disciples, if you remember back. He tells them, come and follow me. So this is his first interaction where he's starting this thing up. And he goes to these guys who are just commercial fishermen. And he says, hey, come follow me, and I'm going to make you fishers of men. Meaning this, if you follow me and my ways, I'm going to take your life to the next level, because you're already a fisherman and there are things that you got going for you, but I want to take it to the next level and bring some purpose into your lives. And so they spend the next 3.5 years following Jesus. And as they're following him, they're watching him do all these miracles and they're hearing all of these teachings. And I just think that would be a really, really incredible experience to walk around with Jesus and watching him open blind eyes and watching him open deaf ears. I mean, that would just be incredible. Am I right? Or watching him cast a demon out of somebody. I don't want to run nobody out. Look, somebody's leaving already. Said demon. And so, but that would just be so awesome. Am I right? And so these guys, they're going with Jesus and watching him do all these things. And just like when he fed the 5,000 from a little boy's meal. I mean, I just think that is pretty incredible. And so these guys were privileged to it. Well, now Jesus' time on earth has come to an end, and he's already died on the cross, and he took care of sin and purchased our salvation, and now he's been in the grave, and he's been resurrected just like they said he would so he could defeat death. And Jesus is just doing his thing, and he is about to ascend into heaven. And right before he ascends into heaven, he's got all these guys that have been following him all around him. And it's kind of like, hey, listen, before I go, let me tell you what you really have to do with your life. And he tells him, he said, I want you to go. I know I started out saying I want you to come, but now I want you to go. And he said, go into all the world and make disciples of all men. In other words, just like you followed me, I want you to go and get other people to follow me. It was really straightforward, really, really simple. And so we see this picture where he's given this great commission is what it's called. And it's literally like Jesus is taking the baton, the responsibility that he had, and he's passing it to the next generation. And generation after generation has gone, and people before us have gone before us, and they have continued to reach the world, continue to make disciples, and now here we are today. The baton is literally in our hands. The baton has been handed to us, and it's literally like Jesus is saying to us, go. Look at your neighbor and say, go. Now, don't mean that in the wrong way, because we don't need anybody leaving, you know what I'm saying? Like, but Jesus is saying, go. He's saying, go into, watch this, into your world and make disciples. Go into your world and influence people to follow me. This is literally how you take this great commission and make it very, very personal. And so whenever the church begins, when emerged church was begun, it's a mission that is in mind. It's a mission from God to lead people to follow Jesus. Now, I know a lot of people are just looking for a good church to attend. Am I right? I mean, we want to go to a good church. I think we go to a good church. Am I right? I do. I think we go to a good church. And that's great. But the whole point of the church isn't just to have a good church to go to every week. But the mission of the church is to be a church that goes to all the world. Are you grabbing this today? And this is so important because this isn't just for a ministry team to take care of. This is for us. And let me tell you why this is for us. Because he said this to his disciples. We are disciples. We are followers of Jesus. And so when we hear something like this, it's so important that we take it personally. So when you read our vision statement that's over here on this side wall here, it says we lead people to follow Jesus so they can live out God's plans for their lives. This isn't just something cool that we came up with so that we can market the church. This is what we are here to do. This is what we are about. This isn't just what Pastor Wade says the church is, but this, if this is your church, if this is where you have planted your roots in, this becomes the vision statement, not just of your church, but this becomes the vision statement, watch this, of our life. Look at your neighbor and say, he's messing with us now. Getting all up in our business. Now, you say, but I got all kinds of plans, Pastor Wade, and I want to be a part of a church that does that. But, like, I got a lot of things that I want to do. And those kinds of thoughts like that have led to much debate in our culture about what church is really supposed to be all about. And it's amazing that there are so many ideas, and I've heard so many people tell me what the church ought to be doing. I'm serious. It happens all the time. I mean, if you go on social media and there's anything posted about a church, people on there are just blasting. Churches are just doing this. Churches need to be doing all this stuff. And I'm like, that's great, y'all. But who do you think the church is? Like, I'm trying to figure out who exactly are you talking to? because I feel like they're trying to tell somebody something, but really they're a part of the somebody that needs to hear what they're telling somebody. You know what I'm saying? So like if you go in there and say, well, the church don't care about people. We are the church. You know what I'm saying? Well, the church needs to reach the lost. We are the church. And so it's almost like, are you just saying it to yourself and you just got to type it out so that everybody else can read it? But these are some realities, and it stirred up some debate about what church is supposed to be about. But listen, the main responsibility of the church is to be the light of the world. Amen? The main responsibility of the church is to be the light of the world, and the light that we're shining isn't on people's problems, but it's on our Savior, Jesus Christ. That is the responsibility of the church. In fact, I'll take it a step further. The Holy Spirit was sent to us, okay, to empower us. And by the way, the Holy Spirit is part of the birthing of the church, Acts chapter 2, okay? So when the Holy Spirit was sent, and the whole point of the Holy Spirit is to point to Jesus. So when the Holy Spirit comes and fills our lives, it should make us point to Jesus. I know this is rocket science, but it's so good, I got to tell you. So our main responsibility is to be the light of the world. Following this great commission that Jesus has given us to lead people to follow him. And whenever we hear something like that, it's got to bring us to this place of self-evaluation. Because there are a lot of good that we are going to do with our lives. And I encourage you to do as much good as you can. But in our sake, in our attempt to do good, let's not miss the Great Commission. Because we can do good for people whenever they're hurt and sick. But if we never ever show them Jesus, they miss out on the eternal life that Christ came to give them. And we had the opportunity to point them, to shine the light on Jesus, but we didn't because we were just ministering to their sickness. And I know this is so, it's like, Pastor, wait, how dare you talk about this? This is so important that we talk about because at the end of the day, the whole point of the church is Jesus. It must point to Jesus, or we take people down a road that has a dead end. Are you grabbing this today? Like, we've got to take them past the dead end, and we've got to let them experience Jesus, okay? This is so important for the sake of the church. It's also so important for the sake of each of us individually. So I want to share this message today entitled, Bigger Than Myself. Bigger than myself. As we share this vision in this series, it's this understanding that God wants me to be bigger than myself. We have our world, we have all the different responsibilities and all the different things that are going on, but I want you to know that God's plan for your life is bigger than yourself. And this is so important for us to understand because a lot of times we become individualistic in our expression, especially in our worship, because I have my style. I'm the one that stands up here. And then the other person says, well, I'm the one that thinks everybody needs to be jumping around dancing during worship. And those other people that just think, you know, you just need to be like this. And there's a lot of different expressions, individual expressions. But I believe if we understand that God is trying to get me to grow bigger than myself, we will begin to see the potential of God's plans unfolding for us, okay? So let me break it down like this. His plans for your life, in fact, his plan for the church is too big for us to accomplish it all by ourselves. This is so important, meaning this, that what God has planned for your life, you can't do it by yourself. You can't. You're going to need him, and you're going to need some other people. And I believe that God did that so that we would stay in a state of dependence, so that we would recognize our need for him, and as well as our need for other people, because it's not good for man to be alone. I heard that somewhere before. It's not good for man to be alone. Now, I know the frustrations that come with dealing with people. Can I hear an amen? You ever work with somebody that you just did not like? Y'all want me to preach on that right now? How many of y'all are going to see them tomorrow? Don't raise your hand. Let me ask it like this. How many of you might be the person that nobody likes at work? Now we got people pointing at other people in here. A whole new series now. There are things that come up in our life. There are people that come up in our life that cause us trouble. It could cause us pain. It could push our buttons. And what are we going to do with that when we are called to be the light of the world? You know what I'm saying? I mean, how many times have we just thought, I'm just going to turn the light off for a few minutes and deal with this? Come on, somebody. I know I'm supposed to be a Jesus person, but I'm going to turn that off. And you've said it before. You better be thankful that I'm a Jesus person. I'm a Christian. Because I'm about to lose my Christianity all up in here. You've said that before. Others have just went through that whole stop sign and just lost it. And had to come back and repent. You ever wonder, though, I don't know, I guess I wonder things. You ever wonder, could God be using those people? I don't know, maybe to help me to grow in that area of my life? I don't want to talk about that too much today because that's a very uncomfortable topic. I think it'd be easier to talk about money than to talk about that. But think about it. What if you said, Lord, I want to grow in my patience in 2019. And the Lord has blessed you with, like, a spouse and some children. Or maybe he just blessed you with a new job. Or let's bring it down to the student level. Maybe that teacher that you loved so much last semester has had to take a little sabbatical, and now you got a new teacher this semester. Come on, that's happened before. And it just wasn't working. You know what I'm talking about? What is up with that? What if God would use something, someone like that, to help you to develop something called patience or character or, I don't know. What if? I see people looking at each other like, I don't know how I'm going to respond. He's probably right, but let's not talk about it so it doesn't happen to me. Oh, it's happening. And I believe those things happen because God's plans for us are too big. For us to accomplish. In fact, if you don't believe that, King David wrote this in the Psalms. King David writes this. And he lived a pretty full life, by the way. You kill a giant, become a king, you're doing all right. I'm just feeling like David had a pretty good life. But he writes this. He says, your plans for me are too numerous to even write down. Now, I got a pretty good to-do list. But this guy, he felt like God's whole dream for him was so big he couldn't even write it down. I don't know if they had limited paper. I don't know what the deal was. He was a king. He could have had other people write it. I don't know. But he just felt like God's plans for his life was so big that it couldn't even be written down. And when you go read the stories about King David, you will see that God put some interesting fellows in his life. God put some crazy people in this man's life, and sometimes he did well with it, and other times he didn't, but at the end of the day, if you read in the New Testament, it said David fulfilled the purpose of God in his generation, and then he died, you realize he must have did something right, but how did he get there? How did he get there? Because everybody wants the plans of God to just come and work out in their lives, and God's plans are great. But we have to understand, it doesn't just work for us, but God's plans work through us, as well as God's plans work in us. And we're always great, we're always thankful that God's plans are working out, but when he wants to start working it out in us, that's where it's like, hold up, Lord. Like, the problem with the church, Lord, it's the church, it's not me. And God's like, you are the church. Remember when Jesus said this, he said that, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He said, I will build my church. That means he's got to work on us. That means he's still working, because we ain't there yet. Look at your neighbor and say, I ain't there yet. He's still working on me. That was a good mercy moment for you right there. If you were a kid and you looked at your parent just now, he's still working on me, they may have mercy on you. That's why it's important y'all say this stuff when I tell you to. I'm trying to help you out. So whenever we hear things like this Great Commission, what it does is it makes us realize, God, I need you, because there ain't no way I could do this by myself. I'm not that kind of person. I'm more to myself. I don't really get in front of people. I'm not the kind of person that feels like I need to push my faith on other people. And listen, if we think that's what this is about, we're wrong. This isn't pushing our faith. This is basically sharing our faith. The last time I checked, from a parent of a 2-year-old, sharing is a good thing. Am I right? Sharing is a good thing. Not at me. Some of you, you're older and you quit sharing. A lot of times we try to use our personalities to back us out of the very things that God has used to grow us. I know, Pastor Wade, you're not supposed to talk about that because you are not a professional in that area. You're going to push people and trigger them. I know. But what if we triggered the plan of God to come alive in your life? Because this is what we are supposed to be doing. This isn't the great option. This is the Great Commission. So this Great Commission is bigger than me. It's bigger than you. The church is bigger than me. And the church is bigger than you. So God uses the church to grow us bigger than ourselves. Do you know, in the last 7 years, I've grown. The Lord has used you to grow me. I promise you. And I pray that the Lord has used me to grow you as well. That's how it works. Look at your neighbor and say, we still got some work to do on him. Trust me, I'm having meetings telling them we still got some work to do on them too. Why? Because we know the potential is great. We know that there are some great things that God can do in our lives, and we understand we can't get there by ourselves, and so we've got to work together to get all that God has for us. Now, it would be great just to throw this big fantasy picture of everything that God has and say, all right, let's go do it. But if we don't have this understanding, when things don't begin to be achieved in our lives, we start getting frustrated and aggravated and get mad at other people. Come on. So we have to understand that the whole point of vision, this commission, is God wants to grow me bigger than myself. And that means that all of our vision, personally as well as the church, watch this, must align with God's vision for us. Now, this is so important because a lot of times we feel like, I just want to do my own thing. And God is not set up like that, to where you just go do your own thing and waltz right into heaven. Okay? Because his way is the way. I remember Jesus said something like this. He said it like this. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Like, that's mic drop right there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't even do that. But Jesus just stands up and he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if you're going to come to the Father, you got to come through me. And so basically, it comes by following Jesus. And following Jesus is what disciples do. And we're following Jesus into this Great Commission. And so with our lives, we follow Jesus, and not just with our attendance to a church on a Sunday. Amen? All right. So no matter what the church is, no matter the style of the church, no matter the preference, the denomination, no matter what it is, the Great Commission of making disciples is the main mission of the church. It doesn't matter what street you go down in this city. It doesn't matter which denomination, what style of worship they got, if they got the old traditional hymns or if they got the new contemporary stuff with the synthesizers and the lights and all that stuff, or if they still hit a Hammond B3 organ. It doesn't matter. The whole mission of the church is to lead people to follow Jesus. That is the mission of the church, no matter where you go. And if we get away from the mission of the church, we become internal, meaning this. We start thinking of ourselves, and we lose sight of eternity, and we live for the moment. And I have found that when we live for the moment, that's where we find frustration. That's where we get agitated with people. That's where we can't see past what's happening now. When we have a view of eternity, though, we give people a chance. We see that there is a possibility that they can change. Come on, I feel better preaching right now. I'm serious. I ain't coughing. I'm preaching. We would give people a chance because we could see eternity instead of just this internalized view of what's happening right now in the moment. God's bigger than the moment. That means this. If you're going through something right now and you think this is it, this is the end for you, I want you to know this isn't the end. This might just be one chapter in your book. But listen, don't throw out the whole book because of one chapter, because all the books I read and these shows I watch, good things wind up happening. That's why we say the best is yet to come. And if we work together, we pull together, we're going to see God's best working in our life. Amen. Come on, I'm preaching better than y'all responding. I'm out to drink some water. I was coughing up a lung a while ago. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. So watch this. I'm going to drop something on you here today. God isn't obligated to bless your plans if it's not connected to his mission. And I need that to sit, because I'm the kind of person, I will ask God for anything. I'm serious, man. I start praying prayers this year. I just out of the box, big, as some of you would criticize me and write a blog up just to correct me. I'm praying prayers like that right now. But I just believe God can do it. But I understand that God isn't obligated to bless me if I'm not connected to his mission, if I'm not connected to his plan. He said, but God loves all his children. Let your kids stray in a department store. The first time, oh, we were so scared. We're so glad we found you. Let them do it again. Listen now, you need to stay with mom and dad. Let them do it again. You're hiding in a clothes rack or some dressing room, and you are addressing this situation. Why? Because they are not staying with the mission. Now, some of you looking at me like that's happened to me before. Not just as a parent, but also as a child. Maybe it's PTSD or whatever you want to call it, but I remember it clearly. God isn't obligated, though, to bless what you're doing if it's not connected to what his mission is on the earth. See, the whole idea of what God was trying to accomplish, he's trying to share love with people. Listen, love without God isn't real love. It's just a lot of affection and emotion. Come on, somebody. God is love, by the way. It's in the Bible. These are things that we have just bought into because this is things that our culture is saying, which is why it's so important that we have a good foundation of God's word in our life. Aren't you glad I bought my real Bible today and not the iPad version of it? It's the real one. When our life is built on the word, there's a solid foundation for us to stand on. And whenever we build our life off of the principles of God's word, there's some strength and some stability so that it can last. And it has lasted through generation after generation after generation. And it still stands. It's still one of the best-selling books. The best-selling book. Still. The best. Because it's right and it's true. And it's alive. And the whole purpose and the foundation of the church is the word of God. And so it's important that you and I, as we live our lives, that we're building our lives on the principles of God's word and not just using God's word as our pain relief. All right, let's get back. We were going down a little road there that I could tell some of us didn't want us to go down. Okay. So how does God grow me bigger than myself? Let's talk about this. How does God grow me bigger than myself? The first thing is this, is the call to commitment. The call to commitment. Nothing will mess with you more than a commitment. You ever committed to something and like 10 minutes later said, what did I get myself into? Why did I just tell them yes? Now I got to figure out how to undo this without it seeming like I'm undoing this. Am I right? Commitments. They help you to plan better. They help you to stretch a little bit. By the way, stretching is also growing. It's amazing how we like to stay away from stretch. We don't like stress, but stress is part of growing. How does God grow me bigger than myself? He calls us to a commitment. And I found that we will never grow any further than our willingness to commit. Meaning this, somebody that says, I want an education. You won't get an education unless you commit to it. Now, you might go to school, but that doesn't mean you're going to learn. Come on, every adult in here knows what I'm talking about. Let them pull up some algebra right now, and we're all lost. Third grade math will do that to you. My teenage sons are checking my daughter's homework. That's where we're at, okay? I was at school, though. If we don't commit to learn, we won't learn. If we don't commit to grow, we won't grow. And it's not just things to commit to, but it's causes to commit to. Think of this. If you're going to have a good family, you have to commit to the cause of family. You don't just have good family because you start having babies and have gatherings at Christmas and Thanksgiving. It takes work. Let's back it up. A relationship is a commitment, and it's going to grow you because you're going to get exposed to differences. And we like everything the same, and we like everybody to agree with what we want to do. But that relationship exposes you to doing things that you don't always like to do. Commitment, it grows us. Commitments with your career, your children, different things through the community. But the most important commitment is our commitment to God. Your commitment to God is going to grow you more than any other relationship. And I found that a lot of times we want the blessings of God, but we don't like to mess with the commitment to God. Because we know God's committed to us, but we like it to be optional on our end. Am I right? Like, wouldn't it just be awesome if God just keeps blessing us anytime we need it or want it, and we could just do whatever we want? And every now and then say, hey, Lord, good to see you. Hope you're doing well. Seriously. And here's the reality. God loves you so much, so committed to you, he doesn't stop chasing you. Isn't that awesome? I thought there would be a lot better reaction than that. Maybe you're upset because the little thing we did. I don't know. But isn't it incredible that God is just so committed to you that he keeps chasing you down? I remember I was with a buddy one time in a movie, and this dude was running from God. And one of the lines in the movie, the guy gets up there and he says, repent and thou must be saved. And I looked over at the guy and he looked at me and he says, I cannot get away from this thing. Isn't that amazing though? Because God's always after us. He's committed to us. And for us to live in a committed relationship with him, it does put us in a place we understand that I have to grow. Meaning this, I cannot continue to live the way that I've been living if I'm going to be in a committed relationship with him. That is a very good thing, am I right? Isn't it a better life to live that I'm so committed to God that I'm going to stop doing these things that were causing me to sin? That's pretty good stuff. Like, I'm no longer going to talk like that because I'm in this relationship with God now. And, like, I like this relationship with God and I don't want to be that person anymore. Do you see the value of the commitment, how it's influencing you and is growing you and helping you to be a better person? Rather than, because I'm in a relationship with God, I can't do this, I can't do that, we can't do this. And all we can do is go to church, we got to lift our hands during the slow songs, clap during the fast songs, give the offering, go to E-group, and serve on Sundays. That's most of the time what we make it feel like. But the reality is, I'm so committed to God, I don't want to keep being like this. Think about it. In the course of your relationships with the people that you love, like in your family, we should want to change for the value of the relationship. For every husband, I want to change. I want to be the best husband to my wife. For every wife, I want to be the best wife for my husband. I want to be a good dad to my kids. I want to be a good mom to my kids. Watch this. I want to be a good kid to my parents. Come on, glory to God. That's a good clapping point right there. I mean, y'all, I give you all these setups all the time, and you're just like, yeah. Man. All right. Your commitment to God, watch this, will grow you into who he has planned you to be. It's a commitment, and he grows you into it through the commitment. Just like your commitment to education, it grows you into that field that you're studying. Like if you're going to be a lawyer, the things that you are studying is going to grow you into the place and expose you to things that's going to help you to become a lawyer. But if you're not committed, you're going to learn a lot of information and you may never, ever, ever become a lawyer and you will just have opinions about law things. Somebody must have an experience like that. Okay. It's commitment. Commitments grow us. So watch this in Proverbs 16, verse 3. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. That's why I say, if your life isn't connected to God's cause, he's not obligated to bless you. But when you commit what you're doing to the Lord completely, he's going to make sure that your plans are established. That's such a good verse. And if you care anything about what God has for your life and the plans for your life and the future of your life, you would say, I'm going to make sure that I am committed to the Lord. A commitment to Jesus. Have you committed your life to Jesus? Have you committed to living your life his way? And all of this is so important as we talk about the vision of the church. Because at the end of the day, this is the hinge. This is the whole point of what we're trying to do. Because when a person has a relationship with God, anything in their life and everything in their life can change. Amen? So the best position for your life is a place of commitment to God. And remember, he's already committed to you. Here's the second thing. Not just the call to commitment, but the call to community. The call to community. Meaning this. Not by yourself. I'm just going to do this thing, me. It's just me. No, it's not just you. It's we. Okay? It's going from me to we. God uses people to grow us, so he puts us together in a spiritual community for you and I to be a part of. And that spiritual community is called the church. It's a spiritual family. And God uses people in the church to help grow us. I know, because there's a potential for people to get on your nerves in this room right now. There's a potential for somebody in this room to even offend you. But listen, if there's a potential for someone to offend you, there's a potential for you to grow in the area of forgiveness. Wow. I know, it's mind-blowing how God sets this up. A lot of times, though, our response is get away. And get away from anything or anybody that agitates me or that can hurt me or can mess with me or just leave me alone and I do my own thing. And in that isolation place, a place of isolation, we stunt our growth. This is so key, guys, because a lot of times we're stunning our growth and we're mad at other people about it. God said, I want you to be together with people. I got a lot of different personalities. I got a lot of different people with strengths and weaknesses, and so do you, and I'm going to help put you all together so that y'all can grow each other. Think about that. It's like God saying, let's just put them all together and see what happens. By the way, that's school. Ask any teacher. Am I right, teachers? So watch this. God knows not just what you need, but God knows who you need to grow you. That's so important. Not just what you need, but he knows who you need to grow you. I remember this one instance in my life where the Lord put it on my heart to ask this particular man to mentor me. And my first response was, he is too busy for that. And I avoided the man as much as I could because I didn't want to feel pressured to ask the man every time I saw him. The only problem was I saw him every Sunday at church. This was years ago when I was younger. And then this man changed his seats in church. And he sat right across the aisle from me every Sunday. I was on staff at the church. I had a seat I had to sit in. And so there was no moving. This is where you sit. And he sat right there. And I just, every time I saw him, the Lord said, you need to ask him to mentor you. And I was like, No, I'm not going to do it. He's too busy, Lord. And we were at a men's meeting one night. And this is why the men should come to the meeting. God might ask you to do something that will change your life. I went to the men's meeting, and afterwards he was leaving. The Lord said, go catch him before he goes. I'm like, God, leave me alone. You know how you already processed through, this ain't God, that's the devil just trying to mess with me and all that stuff. Like, when you get it like 38 times, it's pretty much God, okay? Just saying. And so he was getting in his truck, and I knew this was a moment, man. If I don't, I might die or something. God's going to punish me. I don't know. My theology went out the window. I knew I was in trouble if I didn't ask the guy. So I chased him down, went to his truck, and his name was Randy. I said, hey, Mr. Randy, can I ask you a question? He said, yeah, man, what you got? I said, would you be interested in mentoring me? He said, man, I've been praying for over a year, Lord would send me somebody that I can mentor. I said, well, kind of a little bit of a story behind this. For over a year now, Lord told me I was supposed to ask you to mentor me, but I thought you were too busy. He said, nah, man, I felt like the Lord put some things on my heart for a young man. I just wanted to pray for the right one to come along. And I was like, all right. So here we are. What do we do now? And this man, just being in a relationship with him, he exposed me to people that I never would have been exposed to in my life had it not been for that relationship. My mindset was he was too busy. He was a businessman, a very successful businessman. He had a lot of irons in the fire. And I just thought that because of how he appeared, that he didn't have room in his life for God's plan. But his commitment to God put him in the position to do God's plan. And God used him to unfold some plans of God in my life. See, my obedience was part of his answered prayer. See, a lot of times we're asking God to do stuff. You know that there is somebody praying for something. And God's going to deliver the answer to their prayer through somebody like you. Think about that. You say, well, I'm not anything special. I'm just me. God uses people just like you to answer people's prayers. There's somebody who's praying for a friend. You could be that answer to their prayer. And God does this in the context of this thing that he's called the church. And if we could get away from our cultural mindset of church and see it as a spiritual community that God has put together to help you and I to live out the plans that he has for us. Because listen, whenever it's working for me, it's going to work for you. And when it's working for you, it's going to work for me. And if we put it all together, it's going to work out for some things that are really, really good. Amen? This is why it's so important that we just say, God, I'm committed to you. You call me to this commitment. I'm committed to you, this community called the church. I know there's some crazy people there, and they probably think I'm one of them too. But I understand that you're going to use those kind of people to grow me into the plans that you have for my life. So let's do this thing. So here's a verse for you. Hebrews 10, verse 25. This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing, because we need each other. Isn't that a good verse? It's not the time to pull away. It's the time to come together. We need each other. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate the day dawning. And so really what he's saying is this. As much as you can get together, get together. E-groups are kicking off in a few weeks. This is another opportunity for us to get together. For every person in here that says, I don't have time for this, you should make time for it. Because you need a spiritual community. We will preach to you on Sundays. We're going to play some music. We're going to encourage you. But that life together in those relationships, that's where we're going to grow. Amen? Here's the last one. Not only is it a call to commitment, call to community, but the last thing is the call to the Great Commission. The call to the Great Commission. And I believe that God calls us to the Great Commission so that our salvation isn't just based on ourselves, but on him. Meaning this, I've got to see past me. And that's the one thing that God is going to do as he grows us. Grow us to the point that we see beyond ourselves. And this is exactly how God grows us bigger than ourselves. We're committed to him. We're called to this community. We're involved in the church. And then our cause of the Great Commission, meaning this, what God is doing in me and what God is doing in us, we're going to share with our community. We're going to go into our worlds. We're going to go into our workplace, our schools, our ball fields, everywhere where people are. We're going to go there and we're going to be the light of the world. Instead of being Debbie Downer and talking about how bad everything is, we're going to turn the conversation around and say, I believe a breakthrough is coming. We sang it on Sunday. I've been praying praying for 21 days. I got verses in my Bible highlighted. I got a whole journal full of stuff. I just believe God's going to do something. I don't have all the answers, but I'm committed to Jesus. Are you grabbing this? And I've got to do something with what God has done in me, and I've got to pass it on. And so I believe we can pass it on by being an encouragement, by being a light. And that way, whenever we begin to participate in the Great Commission, we no longer become critical of people who aren't. Come on, somebody, because our mission, we're so mission-minded. I want to reach this person. I can't worry about Sally over there and her debate about, am I going to help people for Jesus? I got to help this lady find Jesus. Are you grabbing this today? This is so important because we're losing sight of our mission because we're losing our mind. This is what's happening. We're losing our mind. I got so much to do. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I got to go to here. I got to do that. Listen, at the end of the day, if we're not fulfilling the Great Commission of God, when we stand before Him, you might get every check for following every rule, but God's going to say, who you got? Got your kids? And I don't mean to drop it that heavy, but we can live our life so fast that we won't even reach our own kids for Jesus. And that is so important because we're on missions for sports. We're on missions for all these other causes and all these other things, and that we miss the main point. We miss the whole point of making sure that the people in our lives know Jesus. And I want to ask you today, do you have a commitment to Jesus? Do you have a commitment to the Great Commission? Are you considerate about people in your world, in your life? Have you ever thought, do they know Jesus? Not just do they go to church, but do they know Jesus? And if we don't do those things, who does them? Maybe that's why God positioned you at that job, that you're still trying to figure out how you got it. Because you know you wasn't that qualified. But maybe your qualification was perfect for reaching that person that you would work next to every day. Maybe you just felt so lucky that you made that team, but you knew you bombed the evaluation or the tryout. It's evaluations now, so it doesn't sound so political. But maybe you're on the team and you didn't realize that God put you on that team because there's somebody there that He wants you to reach. See, this is being mission-minded. And for us as a church, as we're moving forward, if we're going to grow forward, listen to what I'm saying, we have to become mission-minded. And if we don't become mission-minded, we become me-minded. And me-minded finds problems. Mission-minded finds people. Me-minded finds problems. Mission-minded finds people. And there's a lot of people in this city that need Jesus. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of people that we work with, live next to, that need Jesus. So watch this. God's calling you. He's calling you to lead people to follow Him so they can live out His plan for their life. And in doing so, watch this, you live out His plans for yours. What you do has an effect on your life as well as others. I wonder who the Lord's putting on your heart as I'm sharing this today. I wonder what person's name has come to mind. See, this is the why of what we do. What we can do can forever be argued, can forever be debated, can ever be planned, dreamed up, and all that stuff. But the why of what we do will never change. And the why of what we do is all about Jesus. It's all about bringing people to Jesus. We're not trying to make people religious. We're just trying to help them have a relationship with God. And if they have a relationship with God, their life is going to change. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. God wants to grow us bigger than ourselves. And that starts with a commitment. If you're here today, and maybe you do not have a commitment to Jesus, maybe you have a good idea about Jesus. Maybe even an agreement that He is the Savior and that He is one to be followed. But as you evaluate your life and look at the commitment to Jesus, you see that you're not as committed as you should be. And I'm believing right now that as the Holy Spirit is knocking on the doors of hearts, that he's drawing you, that you're at the place where you say, you know what? I know this is what I need to do. Maybe you've been away from the Lord. And this morning, you could just sense the Spirit of God drawing you right back. And maybe you're nervous about the commitment because maybe you do have a lot going on in your life. But I know that verse that says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That thing works. When you commit it to the Lord, it's amazing how things in our lives begin to fall in place and work out. If you're here today and say, Pastor, I don't have a commitment to the Lord. I know Jesus, but I need to commit my life to him completely. I want you just to lift a hand real quick, and we want to pray with you this morning. This might be your first time. This might be your recommitment. Anyone else would say, Pastor, pray with me this morning. Committing my life to Jesus. In this moment right here in this church service, this is the best moment of the church, because this is where that person makes the decision, and this is where we do what God's called us to do. I want to lead you into prayer. We pray every Sunday. Say, Dear Lord, come on, say it out loud, mean it with your heart. Dear Lord, thank you for loving me and being so committed to me that even though I'm a sinner, you would still chase me down because you want a relationship with me. And today, I want a relationship with you. So I surrender my life to you completely. And I make a commitment that I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow your ways. I'm going to live my life your way. Thank you for paying for my sins at the cross and giving me this chance. I announce today that you are my Lord, you're my Savior, I trust you, and I'm following you. In Jesus' name.